Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our healing day of prayer, and we invite you to join us to call in and give us your prayer requests. God's Word goes forth out into the world and does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing, to bring courage and strength when we're struggling. So sit back and enjoy this hour of power, of conversation and prayer.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Mike Altshuler, along with Anton Raimondo. Anton, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, great. It's good to have you once again. We've had a couple months where we haven't been able to be on together, so really glad to have you, and we welcome all of our listeners on this Friday, and particularly the first Friday of the month, and the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, of the Solemnity, and we're glad to have all you listeners with us. So for today, for some of the listeners that have a call for a while, today really we encourage calls in for really some prayers for yourself or for others or whoever it might be. And the phone numbers are 610-527-2906 or 888-343-2484. Anton, if it's okay, I want to start out with a prayer for our group. All right. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, we praise you and thank you for this wonderful day. And we thank you for giving up your life for us so that we may have life, eternal life. Lord, we pray that you may use Anton and myself in a special way today just to be a conduit of your love and your mercy. We pray, Lord, that our listeners may be prompted by your most Holy Spirit to really open the eyes of their hearts so they can hear and listen to what we're saying, and if feeling prompted, to call in for any discussions or prayerful intercessions. And Lord, we ask in your name, Jesus, that you bind and cast away Satan and any evil spirits about the radio waves, about everybody here at the station and all of our listeners, so that all of these areas may be free and open to the promptings of your most Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Father, Son, amen. Holy Spirit, amen. Well, Anton, I thought for today, we would do the today's gospel reading for the, the Solemnity of the Sacred, Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. And I don't know if you want to read it, or if you want me to read it, or what.
You can go ahead and read it.
Okay.
That'd be great.
Okay. So it's a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 19, verse 31 to 37. Since it was preparation day, in order that the bodies might not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath day of that week was a solemn one, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs be broken, that they be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first, and then of the other one who was crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one soldier thrust his lance into his side, and immediately blood and water flowed out. An eyewitness has testified, and his testimony is true. He knows that he is speaking the truth, so that you also may come to believe. For this happened, that the scripture passage might be fulfilled. Not a bone of it will be broken. And again, another passage says, they will look upon him who they have pierced. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Hmm. So, and this is just kind of coming out of nowhere, but Anton, what are your thoughts on this and what it's trying to say to us today on this special feast day?
Sure. Well, today is, you know, extremely special. It's a solemnity, so that, you know, it's about the most precious blood of Jesus Christ, Are you getting feedback there on
yes,
the line?
Yes, yes, we are. We are, so I'm not sure how to do that, but I'm getting feedback, but perhaps it will okay. go away.
I'm going to try to just talk a little quieter, or maybe it's because I'm loud.
Okay.
Anyway, is that better there, I think?
Sure, that's good.
All right. So as far as this gospel is from John, and what's interesting is in the very part that he says, an eyewitness has testified, and his testimony is true.
Mm.
He knows that he is speaking the truth so that you also may come to believe. And so we know this is St. John, the apostle, and the evangelist, who's at the foot of the cross. And so he is an eyewitness, just like it says. So he doesn't name himself out of humility.
Mm-hmm.
He's testifying that what he sees is true, and that so we can come to believe that all these things that are being spoken in Scripture, that, you know, Jesus' bone of the Messiah will not be broken, and that they'll look upon him whom they've pierced. And why this is important is because this is where we see the most sacred heart, how it was pierced by the lance mm-hmm. of the Roman centurion who goes by the name Cassius, also known as Longinus or Saint Longinus.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very important because when Pilate saw that the other, the good thief and the bad thief were still alive, he had their legs broken. And when they came to Jesus, they already saw that he was already dead. So they didn't break his legs. So that fulfilled Scripture. But at the same time, you know, Pilate wanted the soldier, Cassius, also known as Saint Longinus, to thrust his lance in his side and to just be sure. And when he was lanced on his right side and it hit, and, you know, it lanced Jesus' heart, that's when blood and water came out, and where we have that image of the divine mercy from St. Faustina of blood and water coming out, which symbolizes baptism, you know, and the Eucharist. The blood being the Eucharist, and then the water being the sacrament of baptism and confession. And so this is really the start of the birth of the church. We know Pentecost is the birthday of the church, but just like if any mom out there, any woman who's ever experienced delivery and labor and delivery, the first signs of giving birth is what you call when the woman, you know, breaks her bag of water.
Mm.
And so there's actually, you know, the bag of water breaks, and there's this what they call a bloody show. So water and blood. And so here's Jesus literally starting the birth of the church.
Mm.
Blood and water comes out, just like with a human delivery of with a mom who's just starting her labor. Jesus is essentially giving birth to the church so there can be more people who are saved, both Jews and Gentiles. And so this gospel reading is so pregnant with so much symbolism, but also the reality that Jesus is saving us from sin, paying for our sins, but also starting to give birth to the church.
Mm.
And this is, yeah, so this there's a lot here, and that person who lanced him, Cassius, he later became a convert. Actually, right then and there, when he lanced Jesus with his spear, the blood and water that came out actually hit his eyes, and he was almost blind. He had he had so much problem seeing that his inferior or subordinate would make fun of him, because he really couldn't see that well. And so, but when the blood and water hit his eyes, he immediately was cured, fell on his knees and proclaimed that Jesus is Lord. And there's another centurion out there that also converted, and he later gave up, you know, this Saint Longinus is the one who later gave up his life as a martyr because he left the Roman, you know, he deserted the Roman army. and became a Catholic, and he actually became a deacon, and wouldn't stop preaching, and so he got martyred for his conversion. This is a lot. But the other part, because today is, you know, Healing Day or prayer where people can call in, that it's this blood and water that I wanted to show, that there was a miracle right then and there with Longinus. The centurion named Cassius converted because he was miraculously healed by the blood and water of Jesus Christ. So we too, when we receive the blood, body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ, he can heal our soul, he can heal our body, he can heal our mind. So please call in today and ask for the Lord's healing in whatever way that he wants to, whatever he wills for you today.
Amen. Boy, I knew that you would be able to touch on that gospel reading in a way, and I did. So Cassius' name was also Longinus? They're the same person? Okay, because I always know the name Longinus, but I didn't know about Cassius. So,
The other thing that I might want to add is that Longinus is, you know, they have his spear. That historically you can find this in a place that's aptly named Lanciano. So just like the word Lance, Longinus had a lance, and they keep it in a city called Lanciano, or properly pronounced Lanciano. And that is actually where that great miracle in the 7th century, where a priest didn't believe in the real presence of the Eucharist, where while he was offering Mass, and held the host, that it turned into the visible body of Christ, the heart muscle, and the blood of Christ turned into three large droplets of blood. So it's still there today. And if I'm not mistaken, that this blood and the body of Christ, they analyzed it to be heart muscle, the blood to also be real human blood of AB positive of type, and which actually matches the Shroud of Turin and the face cloth and so forth. So it's like a puzzle that matches completely scientifically, and it's right there in the city of Lanciano or Lanciano. So by the Saint Longinus's lance, and people were healed if they went and touched that lance, or they go to that place that church where in Lanciano, where they still have the Eucharist, the body and blood there that's still coagulated, and the flesh, and that's anyone can visit if they ever get to that city or that town in Italy.
I didn't know that both of those things were that why Lanciano was named for that, but that makes perfect sense. So once again, Antonio, you come through with some good, valuable information, all for the sake of deepening our faith and our listeners' faith. And I think that's why all these miracles are always shown, just to reiterate the fact that in case anybody had any doubt, these things occur. And that's the beauty of how our Lord has left different relics and miracles, just to strengthen our faith, because he knows how imperfect we are and how sometimes we question our faith and we're always doubting things at times, and that's unfortunately some of our human nature. But thank goodness we have a Lord Jesus who loves us and cares for us so much that he gave his life, he gave his heart up so that we can live and have eternal life also. So
exactly.
Amen. Well, we have I want to reiterate to our phone caller that the numbers are 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906 or 888-343-2484. And we had a couple callers in, Anton, already. We had one call in, left a message, prayers for Elizabeth, who's an elderly woman who's becoming discouraged due to many medical issues. So,
okay, so Elizabeth, who is experiencing discouragement.
Discouragement from all her medical issues. So,
yes.
If you want to start
all right.
A prayer
sure.
Now.
Sure. Yes. Well, Elizabeth, let me just give a little preamble here. you know, what's so special about Elizabeth calling, as we know, you know, a few days ago was the special feast day of the visitation of the Blessed Mother to Elizabeth.
Mm.
And so that it's very apt that you would call and ask for help. And that what I would also just ask is, or just to help you understand, when I hear the word discouragement, it's actually, if we look at the antidote for discouragement, is the gift of the Holy Spirit called courage. So what we need is to ask the Holy Spirit for an increase of the gift of courage, because that is the antidote for discouragement.
Mm.
And so remember, there's seven gifts of the Holy Spirit: wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. So the one I mentioned was fortitude, which is another word for courage. So we're asking for the spiritual courage to deal with the physical, medical illnesses for Elizabeth. So let's ask the Holy Spirit and also Saint Elizabeth for help for Elizabeth who calls in. Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, and Saint Elizabeth, we ask you your intercessions for Elizabeth, who's feeling discouraged for all the different medical issues in her life that is weighing her down. Give her the courage, which is a gift from the Holy Spirit. Give her the peace and the strength, the inner strength, to deal with all these different diseases that are causing dis-ease to her mind and body and soul. Give her the peace and the confidence and the courage to carry her cross and to offer that up, just like Jesus offered his sufferings up for the salvation of souls. So we ask this in your name, Lord Jesus Christ, and we trust in the Holy Spirit and Saint Elizabeth intercession. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And certainly Elizabeth had quite a faith, because she was barren in her old age and was really heavy upon her heart. And certainly with prayer and prayer and prayer, lo and behold, she was granted a miracle to be pregnant with her and her husband Zacharias with John the Baptist. And really think about Elizabeth's faith. So, and you're certainly listeners who feel you're becoming discouraged and there's no hope with your medical issues, as Anton had mentioned, that St. Elizabeth certainly would be a good one to intercede to. And the beauty of our faith, for listeners, is heaven allows these saints to, with God's will. We lost Anton. Are you there, Anton?
Yes.
Okay.
You might be on your side, Mike.
Okay. I'll talk to Patrick. I don't see him right now. So, my train of thought, I lost it. So, really, for any listeners who really are becoming discouraged with your medical issue, pray to Saint Elizabeth, and our Lord has given us these saints. They really become partners to us, and prayer partners. And sometimes we wonder, well, how can this be? Well, God can create anything. And with these saints, they certainly have things where they have died and gone to heaven for everlasting life. And what a grace it must be for them to be able to given the opportunity to intercede for us. So we're there, just many of them, just a prayer away. And it seems like it's, how can this be so? How can we earn this right to do it? But it's a gift from God, and that gift of prayer. So, you know, a lot of times when they say pray with your heart, allow your heart to transcend this time and space, and these saints will be, they'll become partners throughout your life. And it's a natural thing. And it almost will seem like, you know, if you say to somebody, they won't believe you, but you'll know it's true. I'm not sure if I kind of made myself clear in that one, but it really is this whole spiritual realm is perhaps more real than our physical realm, but we generally don't have the eyes of our hearts to understand and do that. So that's what the gift of faith would do for our listeners, right?
Amen. And also just how you underscored the importance to also know our patron saint. Mm. And so with Elizabeth, named Elizabeth, it's to find out more about Saint Elizabeth, but also look at your maybe your middle name as well, or your baptismal name, and also call upon your guardian angel. And these are these saints are specifically meant to help you, and your guardian angel is there to protect you. And that when we ask their help, they will be able to give us the insights and inspirations to be able to carry our cross. And many times it's just up to us to open that lines of communication, because they're there to help us, our guardian angel, you know, our family angel, you know, our patron saint, whether our confirmation saint name or our baptismal name, they're there to help us, but they can't necessarily force their will on us. We can ask them. We have to ask them to intercede. And they will, you know, they can do that for us. But it we need to initiate a communication, which is called prayer.
It's prayer, exactly. And taking that a step further, part of prayer for our listeners, and I think it's all part of healing today, part of prayer is listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And as we become more prayerful and we're aware of these things, we can be more open to understanding and saying, you know, I think I'll pray to St. Elizabeth. And then we can speak to her in our own personal way. And it becomes a personal relationship. And it's like, well, how can this be? They're not physically here. But the spiritual realm is so strong and real. And one day we will get the opportunity in heaven to meet them. And I think that'll be a great celebration in itself. But I think it makes them, they don't certainly need to intercede for us, but I think they're so full of God's love that they're more than happy to be called upon to intercede for us. Huh?
If I may also just add, because St. Elizabeth is so important, her words are included in the Hail Mary, specifically when she said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb."
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the Hail Mary. And so this is where, Elizabeth, when you pray the Hail Mary, you're praying also in your namesake. In other words, from St. Elizabeth's point of view, when she says, "Blessed are you," which in other words, talking to the Blessed Mother, "Blessed are you, Blessed Mother, among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And who is that? Jesus. And so when you pray that second joyful mystery, the visitation, then you can also ask your intention to please help me with to have more courage, so to get rid of this discouragement. And the other thing is, there's this other fruit of the mystery that is actually called courage. During the third sorrowful mystery, when we pray the crowning of thorns, that the fruit of the mystery, in other words, if you pray the third sorrowful mystery, the crowning with thorns, if you pray it well, and you should ask for the fruit of the mystery, which is courage. That is the 10 Hail Marys that you should be focusing on to help with courage. Because Jesus was crowned with a crown of thorns, stripped naked, and mocked. And yet he had the courage to face his you know, people who were condemning him and mocking him. So if you also ask God for the courage during that third sorrowful mystery, during the crowning of thorns, he would just love and lavish you with the courage that you really need and want.
Hmm. Good point. Thank you, Anton. We also had a prayer request for the Wentworth family who had a family member that passed away. So we should pray for the Wentworth family and also for the soul of that member who's passed away. So Bernadette yes. had asked those requests for that.
Sure. And so we should think about, you know, what great saint out there do we give our petition to who would understand the best of what it is to lose somebody, right? And so, of course, that would be the Blessed Mother. So the Blessed Mother lost Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph was so blessed to have God himself, the Son of God, Jesus, there when he died, and his wife, the Blessed Mother, there, who is immaculate. And then the Blessed Mother was there, of course, when Jesus died at the foot of the cross. So let us petition our Blessed Virgin Mary for the Wentworth family, for their loved one who is deceased, because she promises us so much different graces. And specifically, I would ask Our Lady of Sorrows help the Wentworth family. There's Our Lady of Sorrows, there's seven sorrows. And the fifth one is when she is sorrowful when Jesus dies on the cross. And so, of course, she gives the promise that at the moment of our death, you will see the face of our mother, the Blessed Mother. So let us ask Our Lady. Hail Mary,
grace,
the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. We ask you, Blessed Mother, to help the Wentworth family in their grieving and give them consolation and comfort because of their lost loved one who is deceased. You know better than anyone how it is to lose a husband and to lose a son and to see other souls lost, such as the bad thief, and also seeing the good thief Dismas die right before her eyes. And so you know the pain, you know the sorrow, but please give the Wentworth family the grace so that when they are at the moment of their death, that you can give them the confidence that you will be with them at that moment, and also be with them right now during their suffering, during their sorrow, during their weeping, during this loss of their family member. Give them the comfort, the consolation, and the care that they need from family and friends, and most especially from your blessings and graces. We ask this through Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Anton. That was great. And we have right now, we're at the commercial break time, so we're going to have a short commercial break, and we'll be right back. And part of when we come back, I want to talk to Anton about his recent trip to Lourdes and speaking about how Mary intercedes for us and our children. That should be a great story. So we'll be right back.
Kathleen McCarthy enhances my life in so many ways. She's a friend, a teacher, and at times, a true spiritual mother. She has the great gift of meeting and loving each person where they are at. My name is Kathy Tierney. After I met Kathleen, I started to listen to her radio programs. In the Silence of My Heart is so special because the words provoke personal meditation and reflection. It gives gems to think about Jesus' love for me and for each of us. Our Lord then put Kathleen and Father Dermot Roach together when the Holy Spirit is with you. What a match. Wow. The program is an hour, but amazingly, it is like a coffee break that flies by. Our Blessed Mother and the Holy Spirit brought us the child Jesus. and Kathleen and Father Dermot bring Jesus the Word to the opening of every program. After the reading of the Holy Gospel, their teaching conversation so stirs your heart and soul, you will know the Holy Spirit is with you.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's Word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic Radio Apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906 or on the web at inhissign.com.
Well, welcome back. I'm Mike Altshuler along with Anton Raimondo, and we are on the People's Day of Prayer. You still there, Anton?
Yes.
All right. So we have another 30 minutes of God's blessing to use this wonderful radio ministry to just allow the Lord's healing and peace to touch each of our listeners. And we ended on the, I said we were going to talk about Anton had just gotten back from a trip to Lourdes. I kept saying Fatima, but it's Lourdes. So, Anton, would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about the trip?
Sure. Well, we went there. My wife and I, we were lucky candidates by the Order of Malta, who saw how sick I was and selected me and my wife, who is a caretaker, to go to Lourdes, and there was only like 48 in the whole country who were selected to be that sick enough to need to go to Lourdes for to go into the baths there and to see the grotto and experience the heaven on earth, essentially, was how I experienced it. And so I went there with essentially, there's 400 plus people in our plane, a total of 1,000 Order of Malta knights and dames and doctors and nurses and sick people, which were called malades. And so I was one of the 48 malades that went to Lourdes, France, which is on the southern border of France, where it's in the mountains called the Pyrenees Mountains. So the border below it is Spain. So we're right on the border of France and Spain, and it's in the mountains. And so the weather gets very, unpredictable. So there's a lot of rain, there was sun, it was still very beautiful. But what happened was, this is a worldwide event of the Order of Malta, where just for that weekend, people from belong to Malta, Order of Malta, came there, totaling 6,000 people, 1,000 for America and 5,000 for the rest of the world. We were able to stay there for 7 days, and it was so beautiful, in my opinion, especially seeing the Knights of Malta there and the dames, which they look like nurses or nuns with their capes and their not veils, but their special hats. And the Knights of Malta, they wore their military outfit. They had their beret in black and their uniforms in black. It's a worldwide event that's shown in the news. And so I was wheeled around in a special type of wheelchair, more like a carriage, which they call in French voiture. And so it kind of looked like a rickshaw of sorts, you know. And so we were all wheeled around because I cannot walk the different hills in the area. And so everybody who was really sick there, or who had cancer, or who had, you know, other kinds of diseases that was very severe, were wheeled around in this voiture, and it was fabulous. Where there was processions with in the night with candles, singing the rosary, and going to the grotto where we had mass there and saw the cave or where the Blessed Mother appeared. We got to touch that and also touch the water and go to the bath. They changed the procedure now that you don't go immerse your whole body in the bath since COVID. Instead, they have a person have water poured on their hands. Then you can rub that on you and then also drink the water. Because the original request of the Blessed Mother was to take the water to wash and then to drink. So she didn't necessarily say take a bath. But so we're doing this how it really was asked of Saint Bernadette.
Okay.
And so there might have been a miraculous healing there, but from a person in our group of 48. I, for one, had the blessing and grace of just experiencing heaven on earth. Just you can really, it was palpable of experiencing that God was there and the Blessed Mother was there. It was like being in another world. It just made me wish that if this can be how the world can be like this all the time, it would be heaven on earth. It was what made it extra special was, again, having the Order of Malta there, 6,000 people in this small little town. And whereas some people who might go to Lourdes when it's not that crowded can come away with that it's not so overwhelming. That when they go to Fatima, they would say that was really very extra special. But some people come away with Lourdes thinking, oh, it's not as special as other places. But for us there with the Knights of Malta, that just sent it to another level. That it was just amazing because they were catering to us. And which was strange, you know, like as a doctor, people don't usually cater to me to help me. I usually help others because they're the patients. But then at the same time, my wife is usually the one helping me with my ailment, with my difficulty with my lungs. I have a crippling lung disease. And so my wife was given that chance to be taken care of as well. In other words, for her to experience the sacred there, not have to worry and take care of me. I had two doctors and two nurses take care of me all the time there.
Wow.
For every little thing I needed. And there was no way I would make it unless the doctors and nurses, and there was a group of people, the knights and the dames, who would wheel me around, and there was a student nurse and helping also wheel me around to make it through there. But it was so beautiful. I would love to go back there again. We've never been abroad ever. This is the first time ever leaving the country. We've never been to Mexico or even Canada. So going to Europe was just astounding. And so I wish everybody who can make it to go there. It's that beautiful. It really is. They have so many chapels, so many churches. Especially during the time of when Malta goes there, and that was at the end of April and the beginning of May. We were there for 7 days, and that's like the best time ever. It was really extraordinary. I can't praise the Order of Malta enough, but also just the Blessed Mother. One thing that I did want to share, too, that was the first Saturday when we were there and of May. And we got to pray and fulfill, you know, the five first Saturday devotion there, giving reparation to the Immaculate Conception. For those who are listening, Lourdes is the town that Our Lady appeared back on February 11th 1848, and she appeared there 18 times to a young girl by the name of Bernadette Subaru. It kind of sounds like the car, but, you know, she was, I think, 14, and she saw the Blessed Mother about 18 times, and she identified herself only later as the that she is the Immaculate Conception. She said, "I am the Immaculate Conception," and 4 years before is when the church actually pronounced her, you know, the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. And so this girl, Our Lady, I mean, St. Bernadette, didn't know about any of this. She wasn't very literate or very educated, I should say.
Right.
And so it was a very surprising she would even know what those words are. But one last thing about St. Bernadette, when she was very sick and dying of tuberculosis that went to her bone, she knew that she couldn't partake of the miraculous waters of Lourdes, that she herself knew that she wasn't supposed to get that, even though she was the one that found it, and so many miracles have happened there. So, but she herself wasn't there, wasn't able to get that miracle. So those who are listening, you know, I would recommend, if possible, that, you know, the Lord can heal you anytime, any place, anywhere. And so if you're able to get the holy water from Lourdes, if somebody, you know, has that here, that you could still drink of that or put it on the place where you're ailing, and you can literally feel the peace. And if God wills it, the healing, if he desires that for you, physically, mentally, spiritually, she's Our Lady, just so beautiful and ready and willing to aid us in all our pain and suffering. We just have to ask her, and she will ask our Lord to provide what he thinks you need at that time.
Wow. Well, thank you, Anton, for sharing. And, you know, I'm sure with any of these pilgrimage sites or any, there's always going to be, everyone receives some type of healing. The ideal thing everybody we're looking for is this physical healing, but there's some healing and that probably heavenly joy, maybe that was a healing you had gotten. And it's nice the way you explained it so well for our listeners to do that. And that is the same Blessed Mother who appears, who's with each of us today, who we say our Hail Marys to, who we can intercede to, as Anton alluded to before the commercial break, saying what a great intercessor she was for really all of us, and particularly for those who are mourning, especially at the hour of death. You know, pray for us.
Now at the hour of death,
amen. Her and Saint Joseph. And we had another prayer request call in for Thomas Flynn. I guess we'll just say Thomas, who passed away yesterday afternoon at Bryn Mawr Hospital. So someone had called in for requests for their happy repose to their soul. I guess we can say a prayer for Thomas. You want to lead that one, Anton? Or?
Sure, yes. Lord Jesus Christ, we ask special blessings and graces to the soul of Thomas Flynn. We offer him up to you and your merciful heart on this sacred day of the Most Sacred Heart that he passed away yesterday. But we have this hope and confidence that he will experience the joy and mercy by being with you, Lord Jesus Christ. Even if it's in purgatory, we know that those who are in purgatory are on the front porch of heaven and just waiting to be cleaned before they come in to your house, Lord Jesus Christ. We ask special blessings to the Flynn family, to give them comfort, to give them peace, to give them consolation, and helping them cope with the loss of their loved one from yesterday, and that their memory of Thomas would always stay close to their heart, and know that their prayers can help him even to this point in purgatory, if he's there right now, if he's in heaven already, that he can also help his family by praying for them. And so whether he's in purgatory or in heaven, we can still pray and ask for Thomas his help, or more appropriately, to help him, because we know that more people, even the most saintliest people, spend time in purgatory, and we just know that if he is in there, that it's only a limited short period of time. And we ask this through your son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Anton. Then we also have prayer requests for Kathy, who had a stroke. So perhaps we can say some prayers for healing for Kathy, who had a stroke. Boy, I'm putting you to work a lot today, Anton, aren't I? You all that extra prayer power you got from Lourdes.
Well, that's okay. I mean, this is what it's just part about being your prayer partner here, but also, you know, as a doctor of the body, I also want to help people to be a doctor of their souls. Hmm. And so we're going to, I looked up right now as we were talking, a saint by the name of Andrew Abellino. So there's a specific patron saint for strokes, and his name is Saint Andrew Abellino. He's from Italy, and he's specifically from Naples. And he was born in 1521 and died in the year 1608. And his feast day is November 10. So
okay.
I don't know if Kathy, if your birthday was in November or anything, so there's a connection there, if you have a son or a husband named Andrew, but this Saint Andrew Abellino is the one who will ask for help for you to recover from your stroke. So we ask you, Saint Andrew Abellino, to please help Kathy in her stroke. We know that you are the patron saint of this, and we know that through your intercession to our Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is the divine physician, and that he can be able to heal and help Kathy be restored from her stroke symptoms, that whether she's suffering from problems speaking or problems using her arms or her legs, that she will recover sooner than later. And if there's a problem seeing or being able to think, that she, through the intercession of St. Andrew of Abellino and the divine physician Jesus Christ, that both of them will be able to help Kathy with her stroke and stroke symptoms, so she doesn't have any recurrence or have any serious other side effects from this medical condition. We ask this through your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Anton. And one other note, since this is a time when we have many priests are switching residences and many retiring, I wanted to, we'll say, special prayers for our friend, Father Ralph Chifo, who's going to be retiring shortly within the next few weeks. And Father Chifo has been a key, certainly, component of so many people, and particularly this radio ministry, and where he used to, and now Anton, you've filled in for the show that he would be doing on Thursday afternoons. And Father Chifo is the one that recommended. I said, well, who do you think I should get on with me? It's kind of hard though. Some of the different prayer partners have moved or passed away or whatever. And he said, maybe we could ask Anton. So Father Chifo has among many things. So we really certainly wish him the best prayers and luck. And it was Father Ralph Chifo who, when I first I was nervously calling, they said, you should call for a spiritual director, as I was having locutions, and I didn't know what was going on. I got him on the phone. He called and he said, yeah, okay, well, I'll meet you at this radio station, which I was extremely nervous about. And I'm thinking, why would we meet a radio station? He said he had a radio show on in a half hour, so he had some time to see me then. So I met him, and then while he was praying with me, another woman came in, and her name was Kathleen McCarthy. So I had these two power-packed people praying over me, and Father was asking me questions, and the questions were good because it was like speaking Chinese to somebody Chinese. I mean, I his questions, and I just answered them what was happening with me, and I was just very honest, and certainly I was nervous about it and we didn't know, but he was very reassuring, comforting. He said, no, I think these are from God, and keep listening and send them to him, and Kathleen reiterated to it. So here it is. Actually, I'm sitting right now in the same spot where they were praying over me, and I first met him, and being nervous. So now it's our turn to give back, right? So, Father Ralph, we pray and wish you the best of peace and a smooth transition. And as I said, when I last met him, I said, you know, the best is yet to come, both here on earth and in heaven. So there's a lot more ahead of him. So we thank you, Father Ralph.
Yes, he is amazing how he put us together and how also he, you know, called me into this radio ministry to be able to be his co-host, and I inherited that. But again, how Kathy McCarthy is the one who put us all together from Father Ralph and, and from you and me. And so we owe so much to Kathy McCarthy. And again, Monsignor Chifo, you know, his birthday is July 1st, so we should remember him there too. But also, with Monsignor Chifo retiring, you know, we also pray for those other priests who are, you know, being moved to other places. So I think it's Father Banneker is the one who's going to be the new pastor there at St. Mary Magdalene. And also, I just wanted to say that my own son, Father Anthony Raimundo, he's 5 years a priest, and he was also raised to be a parochial administrator. So essentially, he's, you know, a pastor out in Sacred Heart in Oxford starting on June 17th. And as far as I understand, he's probably the second youngest pastor in all Philadelphia. And so according to Archbishop Chaphew, that he told Anthony that he's one of the youngest there. And I think somebody else is the younger, like 29 years old. But, you know, so Anthony is going to be out there. Father Anthony, my son, is going to be out there at Sacred Heart Parish in Oxford starting June 17th. And he just celebrated Mass at the cathedral today for the high school that he was the school minister. He was the school minister at Roman Catholic.
Oh, wow.
He also was the school minister at Bishop Bonner, Archbishop Prendy, you know, down there in Upper Darby area. So I also, please pray for my son as being a parochial administrator for this first year, and then hopefully he'll be then installed as the pastor officially. But we pray also for Monsignor Chifo and Father Banneker and all the priests out there, those who are retiring, those who are moving on to a new assignment, and just like and those priests who have died, those who are retired. Also, the priest today, my son graduated from high school from Shanahan, and they had two great priests there, Father Chiriaco, and also the president there, you know, Father
Donia.
Oh, no.
Father Donia.
Father Donia.
Yep.
So they're both moving on to to be what Father Chiriaco is retiring, and then Father Donia is going to be the pastor at St. Elizabeth. I forget the name of the city.
Euclid. Actually, I go there a couple of days a week, so it's pretty close to where I work. So it'll be that's great. And that's what's great about it. You know, our faith is nourished, and so many of our listeners have prayed for young men to discern, and women, for the religious life to discern the priesthood. Because without priests, we can't have the sacraments. And that was given all the way from Jesus in the Last Supper and last week with the Corpus Christi. We certainly realize that. So,
amen.
When our listeners, when you, and that's just such a precious moment, when that holy priest does the consecration and turns the body and the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ, it's the real deal. And that's Jesus himself, and we are so blessed to be able to receive him and be nourished by him. And if I could suggest to our listeners, that's such a moment, because sometimes it will also be some different saints will probably come to you during that time. After you receive communion, something I've learned through, I guess, the Holy Spirit, a lot of times I'll say, when I go back to the pew, Jesus, I consumed you, you consumed me. Speak, Lord, for your servant's listening. And a lot of times on that, and I've said to Anton, mentioned on the air before, I'll get different messages, and I'll just know who they're from. They're like locution-type things. And the saints, from different saints, or Jesus, or Mary, or the Holy Spirit. But that's just such a special time. And this morning, I mean, I knew it was her day, but I didn't expect it. But St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, is, if I'm saying it correct?
Yes.
So who's the one who had seen the visions of Jesus and the Sacred Heart at the time. And certainly at first, no one believed her. But I got some just kind words from her. And I just wanted to, if some of your listeners can do a research on her life. It was the late 1600s. And I think it's that's kind of us studying about saints and hearing about it. And they will, in that spiritual realm, which Anton and I were speaking about, they're just a prayer away. And it's a great blessing. And it's like having the most wonderful treasures you can have on earth, certainly the Eucharist, but to be able to communicate with certainly Jesus, Mother Mary, Saint Joseph, we have that opportunity to do it. And I pray that each of our listeners and also Anton and myself will continue to be more open to the promptings of the Holy Spirit so we can truly live in communion with the saints. And that communion is a nice spiritual communion, and we can speak with them, and they'll speak to us. So I kind of went off. That was
that was beautiful. That's great.
You know how that goes with me, Anton. That's why Anton and I offset each other. Anton's got all the facts and all, and I'll kind of go out there. But I think that's really been heavy in my heart since I got in here today, just to have the faith for our listeners to believe that you are heard, you're loved. Jesus is with you just a breath away. He's always with us. And these various saints are just, they're just so awesome. And they're human beings like ourselves, but they're in the spiritual realm, the heavenly realm. And we do get, just like Anton, you said there was heaven on earth in Lourdes. We get that heaven on earth here on here in our own lives, receiving the Eucharist, but also with our prayer. So really encourage our listeners to get some quiet time and listen, pray and listen. We have about 30 seconds left. So, Anton, I'll let you do a closing prayer. How's that?
Sure.
Thanks.
Lord Jesus Christ, on this solemnity of your most Sacred Heart, we ask you to help heal our broken hearts. Those who also have physical problems with their heart, we ask you to help fill that hole in their heart that is a God-shaped hole that only you can fill, Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask this in your name, your most Sacred Heart. We thank you and we praise you and we give you glory. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Anton. Thank you, listeners. And we'll talk to you next month. Bye now.
God bless.
God bless you.